Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show. Today I have a story to tell you about my old stomping grounds over in Silverton, Oregon. Specifically, I've got a story that took place at Silver Falls State Park before it was a park. Daredevil Al Fawcett was the man's name, and he survived a 177-foot plunge at Silver Falls, which he took deliberately in a canoe of sorts, a canvas boat that he had built himself and filled with inner tubes to try to protect himself from impact. Didn't work very well, by the way. While he was recovering from his injuries, his partner skipped town with the entire proceeds from his feat. Poor Daredevil Al. But he did win immortality, of a sort. I first published this story on June 27th, 2009, and here it goes. 81 years ago, on July 1st, 1928, a man rode a 12-foot canvas boat over the biggest waterfall in Silver Falls State Park and survived. And yes, he did it on purpose. Now, if you've ever lived in Silverton or Sublimity or Staten for any length of time, you can probably stop reading right now because you surely already know this whole story. But for everybody else, here's a brief version. The story of Oregon's very own aquatic evil Knievel. By the summer of 1928, a formerly obscure Washington logger named Al Fawcett was making a name for himself the same way Evil Knievel would decades later, by risking his neck in spectacular ways. Unlike Evil, though, Daredevil Al specialized in waterfalls. He'd paddled over Snoqualmie Falls in Washington and even Willamette Falls in Oregon City. Problem was, he was getting famous, but he wasn't getting rich. The solution? Al figured he needed to find a bigger, more death-defying waterfall to run. South Falls takes tiny Silver Creek over a 177-foot drop into a splash pool that looks from the top just a tiny bit larger than a child's wading pool. It was perfect. Of course, this was before the area became a state park. Al talked to the owner of the falls, Daniel Geisler of Silverton. Geisler was already in business charging people to watch him shove junk cars off the top. He was open to the plan, but with one stipulation. Al was going to have to own the property when he did that, so that Geisler couldn't be held liable if things turned out badly. To that end, they drew up a contract under which Al would own Silver Falls for one day, on the day he'd do his stunt. To make it work, Al and his partner, whose name historian Jeff Brackus says has been lost in the mists of time, dammed up Silver Creek at the top and rigged a chute to push Al's boat out over the rocky lip. Then they rigged a cable that would guide the boat into that pint-sized splash pool so that it wouldn't end up lighting on the rocks instead. On the big day, thousands of spectators were there to watch, and they started getting restless pretty soon. It seemed like they'd been waiting a long time. One spectator, Brian Gordon of Silverton, said he went to investigate and found Fawcett, quote, "sitting in the canoe bracing himself with spirits for the ordeal ahead, for which you could not blame him." This was, of course, bootleg spirits. As Prohibition was still going strong in 1928, there was a rumor that Al wanted to back out and that his unknown partner was helping him change his mind with, quote, "a little help from a bottle of handcrafted gin," as historian Brackus puts it. Finally, Al gave the signal. The dam was opened. Some sources say the dam never worked and that he had to be pushed. But in any case, the water roared, Al shot out into space as the spectators, quote, "caught their hearts in their throats and held their breath," Brackus again. But 30 feet above the water, the boat hung up on a splice in the guide cable, which snapped it to a momentary halt in midair. Then the guide ring snapped off the boat and it dropped to the water where it landed flat on its keel. Brackus compares this to a high diver doing a belly flop. The boat was supposed to knife into the water and pop back to the surface again with a soggy but triumphant Fawcett ready to jump out and shake some hands. Instead, a dry and badly injured Fawcett barely managed a feeble wave before being brought to shore and rushed to the hospital. While he was there recuperating, that partner of his, the one whose name no one remembers, you know him? He skipped town with the entire $2,500 proceeds of the stunt, leaving Daredevil Al Fawcett with nothing but the enduring fame. Before I sign off, I want to tip my hat to Jeff Breckus, my former colleague from the Silverton Appeal Tribune, who's left town at some time recently, and I've lost touch with him. If anybody knows where he is, drop me an email. I'd love to reconnect. Well, that's it for our show for today. This show is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a daily RSS feed to catch on your smartphone reader, a Facebook page, a Twitter feed, and a couple other minor components. Photographs and other images that go with today's show are on offbeatoregon.com, where you'll also find full citations to the sources used in writing this story, along with more than 200 other articles written over the last 5 years, all organized by date of publication. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, and was written by Carmen Ficarra. I do Offbeat Oregon for learning and for fun, so I don't sell advertising or ask for donations, but if you feel a need to make a donation anyway, may I suggest that you buy a copy of my book instead? It's called Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town, published by the History Press in 2012. You can order it from the store link on offbeatoregon.com if you'd like, but if you still have a local community bookstore in your town, I hope you'll consider buying it from them instead. It sells for $20. Finally, if you're ever in Corvallis, drop me a line. Maybe we can grab a cup of coffee and talk about history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com. Don't be a stranger, especially don't be a stranger if you have a good idea for one of these columns in the future. Speaking of the future, our next show will be coming your way at around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go out and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.